weeks we've been inviting folks to come and give a witness why they are Foundry. I am Foundry and you are Foundry. Today we invite Sharon Ling, Sharon and Ling O'Donohue to come forward. Ling is one of our faithful Foundry youth. Marvelous young woman. She's also spoken here at the church. Sharon has participated in many, many ministries here at the church, youth ministries, and also on the audit committee. We're glad to receive them and pray God's blessings upon them as they share their witness.
I am Foundry. How daunting and how exhilarating that is. I can remember attending church, well, ever since I can remember. Before moving to D.C., I attended Epworth United Methodist and absolutely adored sitting in service every Sunday. I remember waving to the choir members as they entered and exited the sanctuary. I visited with the adults after every service and hung out in my favorite place, the church library. I have to admit, even as a little kid, I tended to skip children's hour. I didn't want to be taken away from the excitement of the music, the service, being with the adults. Seems like that hasn't really changed much. Upon coming to Foundry, I was immediately amazed by the music, the service, and the sermons, and all of you. The adults who introduced themselves and have been genuinely engaging with me and interested in how things are going in my life. The more I am around you, the more I feel a part of my church family, supported and nurtured. My turning point at Foundry was my confirmation. I was assigned a confirmation sponsor, Beth Scott, who engaged me in spiritual conversations. I will always remember Pastor Dean and Pastor T telling me, "You are now a full member of this church." Wow. At that moment, I felt like something was expected of me, but I wasn't sure what. I was invited to participate in a community outside myself, outside Foundry, in the Appalachia Service Project and the Great Days of Service. I also served as an acolyte, read liturgy, sang in the youth choir, and shared my faith statement. By engaging in service, I got to know you, and you have gotten to know me. We have walked and lived in community, caring, sharing, and giving of ourselves to each other and others who need us. I realize I'm a youth in this congregation, not a full-fledged adult, but you should know how important your engagement with young people at Foundry is. Your time and your financial support of youth trips, the youth minister, and Sunday school nurtures us as we find our way and develop spiritually. Your stewardship has modeled for me how to belong to Foundry. I have my first part-time job, and I'm excited that I can now contribute financially with my money, not Mom's. This summer on my trip to China, I made a donation to support my orphanage, and I'm excited to also support Foundry's work through my small contributions, in addition to my engagement. I am Foundry because you are Foundry. Thank you for showing me what loving, serving, and giving looks and feels like. You will never know how very much Foundry means to me. Ever since high school, I've used the prayer of St. Francis in my prayer routine. For more than 40 years, it's woven itself into the fibers of my life. I pray, Lord, grant that I may seek to comfort rather than to be comforted, to understand and to be understood, to love and to be loved, for it is by self-forgetting that one finds. I often think of those words as I recall what first attracted me to Foundry. While making the ways of the rounds of churches to find our new home church, we came to Foundry. Well, once we visited Foundry, the search was over. For here, we found a community ministering to individuals' needs and tirelessly advocating on behalf of LGBT issues. I
witness the community, declaring that we are all made in God's image and worthy of love and inclusion. You see, everything about Foundry is the prayer of St. Francis in action. As a new member, you invited me to get out of myself by serving on committees and engaging in programs. The sermons, guest preachers, and the sisterhood of the women's retreat awakened in me a thirst to engage and to belong. But probably most importantly, you became the faith community that I could entrust Wing with. You were caring and loving, and at Foundry, Wing, like any other teenager, often seeks adult advice other than mother's. And as she sought your input, I was able to step back and let go because I knew your message would be the same loving, affirming message, just from another messenger. You've walked in her life as a confirmation sponsor, youth group leaders, choir directors, parents of other youth, and interested and caring Foundry members. We often speak of Foundry's activities and programs as mission work, that which we do, you know, for people out there. And the reality is that Foundry's works of faith with youth and on behalf of LGBT inclusion has touched our family very deeply. For Foundry has affirmed me as a person made in God's image. It's the first church where I was not told to pray harder about my lifestyle choice or told I was an abomination or someone broken or spiritually lost. And by affirming me for who I am, you've affirmed me as a person and as a mother. You affirm all children and families of LGBT adults who are whole and complete parents here. Foundry is the affirmation. No, really, it's the only refuge from anti-gay rhetoric for children of LGBT people. Foundry provides the love and acceptance that children don't hear in their schools, and you may not be aware, but don't experience in their extended families. Know that often you are the surrogate siblings, cousins, aunts, uncles, and grandparents for children of LGBT parents who don't have that within their own family. You are Foundry. I am Foundry. And together we are loving, serving, giving in the community and in the lives of Foundry members and in the life of Wing and I. Please join Wing and I in financially supporting this wonderful church that nurtures its members of all ages.
First reading today is from the Epistle of Peter. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Please stand for the singing of the hymn Sanctuary in the Black Hymnal, The Faith We Sing, and remain standing for the reading of the Gospel. Gospel according to Mark. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, What is it you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory. But Jesus said to them, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They replied, we are able. Then Jesus said to them, the cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, you know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and the great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Let us pray. Precious Lord, take our hand and lead us into the future that you have for us as a church. That's our prayer today. And my prayer right now is that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart might be acceptable to you. Because you and you alone, O God, are my rock and the salvation of the world. Amen. What is it you want me to do for you? That's the question Jesus asks today. What is it that you want me to do for you? If Jesus asked you that question today, what would you say? Well, James and John got asked that question, of course, and they responded with a request for positions of power and prestige in Jesus' administration. And you'd think they would have known better, because these two have been with Jesus almost from the very beginning, have heard him speak, have seen everything he's done. But again and again, as we know, the disciples struggle to get it. They argue over rank. They try to deny children and other vulnerable people access to Jesus. They aren't able or willing to comprehend that the last will be first, that children will inherit the kingdom, that the greatest people are those who serve, and that true life is received not by what you get, which is the way that we so often think about it these days, but rather that true life is received by what you give. What do you suppose might have been a wiser response by James and John to Jesus' question? Today is the day, friends, when we, by Foundry tradition, set aside some time to reflect on the state of the church. I have to say, last year I was fairly daunted by the fact that I was asked to say something about the state of the church. It sounds very, very daunting. However, as I was thinking about it this year, I just found myself feeling really excited. And also, as I thought about it, I had this question of Jesus in my mind, and I began to wonder what we as a congregation might say to Jesus in response to his most generous question. But Jesus asks us as Foundry Church, what is it you want me to do for you? Before we think about the response to that, or potential responses to that, however, I want to take a moment just to reflect with you about our current cultural context. The landscape has changed and is changing with regard to the way that people
generally both think about and engage their spiritual practices. The pace of life in our day, the rise of social media, the oversaturation in our lives with information, the religious climate in the media, the shrinking of workforces and consequent increase of work pressure and demands on those lucky enough to have a job, the competitive nature of American life from childhood all the way through life. These things and many more factors affect religious participation at many levels. For an increasingly mobile population, attending worship every week is difficult to achieve. We also know that weekly worship isn't the primary way that many folks engage the church. Some prefer to engage through small groups or through direct service opportunities in mission. Others may connect primarily through online resources, or I'm learning even more, connect through live streaming. Hello, friends. And of course, there are a growing number of folks who don't engage the church at all. One colleague in New York City, a pastor who's been at this work for many more years than I and has been in his current congregation for more than 20 years, has told me on more than one occasion over the past year that he finds doing congregational work in the current climate more challenging than ever before. The challenge, and I would agree with him, but challenging as it is, I have some pretty strong convictions about why it's so important for us to continue to hang in there and to be the church in the world. First, I believe that the church, we've already heard a few good reasons, thank you Sharon and Ling, but I would also add that the church at its best can offer people things that we're all hungry for. Things like community and friendship and meaning and purpose and beauty. Hello, choir. And a sense of wonder and transcendence and mystery. I believe that even though so many people are disconnected from church and say they don't want anything to do with it, so often those very same people find themselves at a point in their lives when all of a sudden they desperately need the church. And when that happens, and when those folks stumble across our threshold, we need to be ready. We need to be a church. We need to be here, and we need to be an authentic, loving, welcoming community of conviction and commitment and integrity. I believe that we as the church, are responsible to try to mend the broken hearts and the wounds of persons who have been hurt by the church, even as we mend our own brokenness. And I believe that that can happen as we gather as a church calling upon the amazing grace of our God. I believe that the church is absolutely necessary to help each one of us be and become our truest and most whole selves. I believe it's crucial that the church teach our children and our youth that they are part of God's love story. And that as part of that story, they don't have to compete for God's love. That the church is one place that our children don't have to compete. I believe that the church is God's instrument of peace and mercy and justice and saving love in the world. And that it is the church's work to show that there is an alternative to violence and to prejudice and to polarization and to stand in solidarity with the poor and the oppressed. It may be challenging in our current context to be engaged in congregational work. But friends, it absolutely important. There's perhaps nothing more important in the world than for the church to be the church. In light of all this, I come back to that question that got under my skin asked by Jesus in our text today. What is it you want me to do for you? And the words of the hymn come to mind, grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour. You know that hymn? We sang the tune earlier. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the living of these days. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, Jesus, lest we miss thy kingdom's goal. The very good news is that even as we cry out for help, for grace, for courage, for wisdom, even now, the very good news is that in so many ways, Foundry is positioned from a place of strength as we lean into this, our next century of mission and ministry in this nation's capital. Over the course of this past year, we have welcomed a number of inspiring guest preachers, and I can tell you that every one of them, to a person, made a point of saying to me how extraordinary they found Foundry to be. And I want to share with you a few of my favorite comments. Some of you maybe were here to experience the very Episcopalian Dr. Peter Hawkins. And Peter said to me later, he said, I must confess to you, Ginger, that in your 9:30 service, even I, very buttoned up as I am, really wanted to stand up and clap along during the singing. Hilarious. Oh my gosh, he's so funny. I also want to share with you that Reverend Cynthia Moore Kakoi, I think of her telling me that her preconceptions about what kind of church Foundry is were shattered by her experience here. And in the 9:30 service, she stood up and very powerfully said that she gave thanks to God that the daughter of slaves and the daughter of slave owners were sharing a pulpit and singing together the songs of her people from the African-American Heritage Hymnal. It's a really powerful moment on a day, the Sunday after the tragic murder, racially motivated murders in Emmanuel AME Church. It's a powerful day. And I also think about Bishop Talbert when he was here preaching among us early this year and telling us in his sermon to look around and to look at one another and to see the kingdom of God. And he very pointedly said to us, do not take this for granted. Don't take what you experience here at Foundry for granted. I also think of the woman who said to me some weeks back, she said, you know, I don't know what I'm doing here or what I believe, but I simply feel drawn to be at Foundry. And I also think of our friend and brother Brian Mallon, who, as he lay dying, said to me quite simply, thank God for Foundry. I can't tell you the number of times that I have heard some version of, I never thought I would find a church where I could feel so fully embraced and loved and supported. Or, we never dreamed that we could get married in church. Or, I didn't know church could be like this. Friends, there are people that you don't know, will never know, who regularly want to share in this beautiful gift that we share. People who are tuning in through our live stream, who are part of this worship, wanting to soak it up, wanting to hear the message of inclusion, of welcome, of love, of mercy, and compassion, of all that Foundry is and wants to be in the world. I learned just recently, a few weeks ago, after the funeral of my great aunt Lola, my mother told me she was talking to one of her cousins down in Texas. And, you know, this random cousin of mine, who I don't know very well, has evidently started tuning in every week to worship its foundry through live stream. I mean, who knew? I mean, we have no idea the reach that we have and the power that it has. And friends, I also want to take some time today to share with you, in a way that we don't often take the time to do, some of the ways that this church is serving beyond the walls. And the first thing I want to mention to you is that we are serving well beyond the walls of this building and this congregation through the payment of 100% of our apportionments to the Connectional Church. And what that means is that through the gifts that you offer, a piece of that, and for us, a large piece of our budget, goes beyond our walls to serve people in need through ministry and mission in the city and nation and literally around the world. You'll never know how many lives you have changed simply by those gifts. And we are proud that we support what is really the tie for our church to the larger church. And we're also doing extraordinary work right here in D.C. as a congregation. Just this past year, our English as a Second Language classes have been filled three different semesters to capacity, 70 students each semester. And there, anyone who needed to attend for free has been able to do that because of the support of this congregation. You'll never know the way that those classes are changing people's lives. Our social justice ministries have cooked lunches for unhoused neighbors recovering from injury, illness, surgery, and addiction at Christ House in D.C. We've helped feed hundreds through So Others Might Eat and Sandwich 1000, as well as our Saturday morning cooking mission. This spring's great day of service, we packed 30,000 meals with our sisters and brothers from Mount Vernon Place and Asbury United Methodist Churches. And those were then sent out to respond to disasters in eastern Ukraine and the Philippines. We sponsored four children who are living in shelters to attend summer camp at the Brighter Day United Methodist Church's Enrichment Academy this past summer. And I also want you to, did you know that you all sponsored an apartment for a family moving from shelter to permanent supportive housing? A single mother named Bernadette, she and her daughter and her son, who, by the way, are adorbs. Oh, my gosh. We got pictures. Gabby is a little girl, and Todd is her little baby boy. Too cute. They were moved into an apartment that was furnished entirely by this congregation, ready for them to move into a home of their own. And in a thank you note that we received from Bernadette, she said, "Everything is so beautiful. My kids love their new room, and my daughter can't believe this is ours." She said, "We're so thankful. We won't take it for granted." In addition to all of that, we have worked to provide canned goods and badly needed supplies to our neighbors in and around Baltimore's Sandtown neighborhood through our partnership with Ames, John Wesley, and Metropolitan United Methodist Churches located in that neighborhood following the demonstrations after the death of Freddie Gray. And that connection will continue, by the way, into this next year through volunteer and mission work with those congregations. Foundry was instrumental in getting a D.C. 2016 budget passed that includes more support for ending chronic homelessness. And our ID ministry was expanded this past year to meet the growing needs of those who need this vital service. I would be remiss if I did not also mention to you that we are coming off a truly extraordinary bicentennial year in which we experienced together transcendent worship and powerful preaching and soul-stirring music and warm fellowship and a family reunion with our sister church, Asbury United Methodist Church, and so much more. Family camp and Sunday school continue to bless our children and our families. Our children's choir is stronger than it's been in years, and our adult choirs are fantastic as always. We continue to see big improvements to our building through our Mission Possible Capital campaign. There's a spirit of excitement and increasing engagement in our community. is at work in our midst. God is at work in our midst. Can you believe just at that? And that's not even everything. It's not even begins to be everything. But even with all of that, there are places that we know that we need to become stronger and more organized and more faithful. What is it that you must do over the next 2 to 3 years? That was the question that the Reverend Dr. Jim Harnish asked the management board at the end of February as we gathered for a visioning retreat. What is it you must do as a congregation over the next 2 or 3 years? That retreat itself was the culmination, really, of the house meeting and holy conversation cycle that commenced as I came among you as your senior pastor and began to really listen and observe what was happening here. The board had the benefit of all the data collected at the house meetings as they moved into that visioning time, as well as their own experiences as they sought to think about an answer to Jim's question. What is it you must do? Well, what emerged from that retreat and from the process as a whole is what I call a developmental vision for Foundry. And what that means is that the vision for the next 2 to 3 years provides clarity about the areas that need to be strengthened and developed in order for Foundry to grow as a community and also to be a force for transformation in the world. The vision is this: to be an intentional covenant community that helps people of all ages connect with God and with one another, that calls, equips, sends, and supports spiritual leaders to serve in the church and in the world, that practices radical hospitality and inclusion, and that builds partnerships in mission locally and globally to create beloved communities of economic, racial, and social justice. Some of the concrete ways that we will be living into that vision or seeking to are spelled out in the Stewardship Campaign booklet, which I hope that you have received. If you haven't, please, I encourage you to pick one of these up. They're all around the building. Read it and reflect on all that God is doing and seeking to do through Foundry Church. We are seeking to be and to become beloved community here at Foundry. And the work that we do, both internally and externally, to proclaim that Black Lives Matter and to advocate for full inclusion of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer persons is absolutely critically important at this moment in our history as a nation and as a church. These are critically important things that we are seeking to address in and through our life together and through what we are doing out in the world. This is the moment, and we're called. The investment that we're making in staffing for family ministries and for adult connecting ministries, which includes Bible study and small groups, that is critical in helping us to finally address the gaps in our congregational ministries, gaps that have created challenges and obstacles to our greater growth and flourishing. We are putting programs and personnel into place strategically and with great hope in the fruits that will be borne out over the next several years. Folks, things are going really, really well. Do you hear all of that? We know who we are. We know what we're called to. We know where we're going. We know where the gaps are. We know that God is using us. We know that we were brought together for just such a time as this. That is all good news. And I have to tell you that there's only one place, as I look out across the state of Foundry Church, that is not as strong as it could and needs to be. Just one. And it's something. The good news is it's something we can do something about. The one primary challenge we face in moving forward with full confidence is financial. Let me begin by saying that we have so many people in this church whose generosity is breathtaking, both in their financial giving and in their humble service. Absolutely breathtaking. Last year, in addition, we began to see a very healthy trend in our congregation where folks began to move from giving anonymously to actually making a pledge, making a commitment to what they were going to offer to support the life of Foundry Church. Even in the wake of a really strong and dynamic campaign, stewardship campaign last fall, we still found ourselves facing a shortfall for the 2015 annual budget. The leadership challenge commenced in January, generating more than $215,000 to help close the gap. Some of our strongest givers gave even more, and many folks stepped up from across the congregation to help us close that gap. And I want to take this moment just to say how much I appreciate, to say thank you to everyone who contributes to help Foundry do and be what we are called to do and be through your financial support. Projections for next year's budget show that we will once again be facing a shortfall unless we work together to increase our collective giving. I would want to encourage us to do that work, that collective work now, instead of having to wait until next January. Thank you, Don. Here's the truth, which I'm in the habit of telling. Here's the truth. We need at least a 10% increase overall in order to get close to a balanced budget. And I can assure you that the projected spending is not extravagant. Increases are primarily in staffing and in support for other areas that are vital to fulfilling our vision and our mission. And our draft budget, projected draft budget, is online on our website, so you can go and look at that and feel free to ask any clarifying questions that you might have. If you haven't already, at some point, I do encourage you to look at page 21 in this handy-dandy booklet, to the page that's called A Revealing Breakdown of Foundry's Giving Patterns for the General Operating Fund. What I would encourage you and invite you to notice is that in this chart, which shows the giving for 2014, there are 738 active Foundry folks for whom we have a record of zero giving for 2014. No record of any gift whatsoever. 738 Foundry folks. That's more than half, I would suggest, of our community. And that means that the other half are carrying a heavy load. It doesn't have to be that way. That's not how the church is built. We're built to share the load together. And I think to myself, if those folks, even if some of those folks made a gift, just think about what that 738, how much would it take to raise what we need? If those folks gave something, anything, and if those who are already giving increased as much as possible, then we would not only be moving forward with spiritual strength, we would be moving forward with financial strength. We would have more than enough. More than enough. We should not have to be worrying about this. We can do this together. So here's what we're asking of you. If you have not pledged in the past to Foundry Church, which, by the way, if you hadn't already gotten this message, Foundry Church is fantastic. It is a good place to invest both your time, your talent, and your treasure. If you haven't pledged in the past, please do that. Whether you're a professing member or whether you just started attending, don't assume that someone else is going to make it happen. If you have not pledged in the past, please do that, and any amount is okay. If you have pledged in the past, consider whether pledge by 10% this year. And if not that much, then at least as much as you can. And if you've made a donation toward our leadership challenge for this year, 2015, please prayerfully consider whether you can make that same gift in 2016. Today, Jesus asks us, what do you want me to do for you? Perhaps the best response would be to echo that question right back. What is it, Jesus, that you want us to do for you?